So this is the kickoff of our new podcast called Well Matters, Worldly Empowerment, Living and Learning. And this is Heidi McAlpine, Occupational Therapy Educator. And I'm here with my two students, Josh Falk and Christine Koppel-Gray. And we are here to empower communities by cultivating professionals to support the occupational therapy profession and align with AOTA's vision of 2025 that promotes health and well-being. And our first guest will be Flo Hannes, and she is the president-elect of the Occupational Therapy Association. I hope that you will join us starting in January. Look for us in the NYSOTA website. Hello? Flo? Hannes. I'm interviewing Flo, and she just retired, so she shared about that. And she was an educator for an occupational therapy assistant program, and she is promoting mental health on Long Island and throughout New York. And I just wanted to interview you a little bit on where you see your vision for AOTA. In the vision for 2025, and that states how occupational therapy maximizes health, well-being, and quality of life for all people, populations, and communities through effective solutions that facilitate participation in everyday living. So I just wanted to get your perspective on that and how you see yourself as an agent of change working towards a mental health aspect.
Well, I see myself as an agent of change, as an academic, as an educator, and having been so for 40 years in an OTA program, and also the baseline foundation of my background in occupational therapy has been mental health. So I have watched, unfortunately, a steady decline in occupational therapy services within mental health settings. So to meet our centennial vision, one of the most important aspects is that we maintain our connection and understanding of the importance of how mental health is woven through all areas of practice. It is not an isolated specialty. It is involved with everyone. The mental health changes come about with a physical disability, with a chronic disease, with the aging process, with parents or caretakers of young children that present with any sort of special needs. So we need to look at and how is mental health factoring into what the entire treatment approach and any intervention we do? We strive as occupational therapists to increase an individual's independence and productivity, but we mustn't overlook where their mental state enters into that, their emotional state. We may think we are doing all of the right things, but first we need to know, how do they feel? What emotions are they experiencing? And address those, not just to make them better physically, because we haven't gained much.
Right, so their emotional state can affect their ability to function, whatever context that is, whether it's classroom, like you had mentioned, with children, or whether it's in their workplace, or whether it's in the home. So how do you foresee yourself making those connections that you had mentioned? Where do you start?
Well, unfortunately, I have become the president-elect of the New York State Occupational Therapy Association. And having just retired from my academic position, it gives me the time and the opportunity and the plan to journey throughout the state speaking to practitioners, speaking to students, speaking to consumer groups about the importance and the role that occupational therapy plays in all aspects of our lives.
That's great, and I know that we had spoke earlier on coming to Long Island and speaking to either the Stony Brook students and working with students, but also professionals. So I hope that we're able to make that happen.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm looking forward to it. But also students would like to know, how will they be able to bring that peace as new therapists into whatever setting that they're in, especially if it's outside of mental health? So how do you foresee them? What would your advice be to starting that ball rolling?
Well, that's basic. It's basic because you approach anything that you would do with a client, with a patient, with a student, meaning a school-based OT, from the perspective of what do they want? What do they need? What are their goals? And that brings into play their concerns about, can I do this? Will I be able to do this? I'm not sure I can do this. So the beauty of occupational therapy in general is we can bring ourselves and all sorts of tools into the practice area. So when we recognize the individuality of the individual that we're working with, their uniqueness and who they are, and not just have a diagnosis to go by, but look beyond that and say, who is this person? What do they need to help motivate them in the therapy process? And if you get that mindset that you are encompassing the holistic approach to the individual, you're off to a great start. And it doesn't have to be a mental health setting, because individuals who have strokes, who have cardiac issues, may have all sorts of different mental health issues. They may have depression. They may have schizophrenia. They may have certainly anxiety. So, as I said, mental health is woven throughout everything we do.
All right, so you're talking, it sounds like you're coming from a strength-based.
Absolutely.
Strength-based, looking at the person who they were before their injury, and also using OT values and keeping it client-centered, so being understanding, compassionate, and by keeping it client-centered, we're identifying with who they were before the injury, what their interests were, and how would you utilize that? So how would that happen? How do you know their interests? Personally, how would you do that?
Conversation. Tell me who you are. Tell me about yourself. I'd like to get to know you and what's important to you as part of your therapy plan. And of course, we have the invaluable occupational profile. And it's not a formal where we're sitting down doing a standardized formal eval. We are using our interpersonal skills. For me, that is the essence of therapeutic use of self. That there's nothing between you and your patient but conversation and genuine caring and compassion.
Okay. Go ahead, Josh.
So I'm certainly inspired by that perspective and that vision, and especially at the conference today and just learning about OT and the scope of it, I feel like I can't help but think that over the next few years it's destined to grow into more and more places, and I'm very motivated by that, especially in community-based settings. But I'm also, as a student getting ready to graduate, I'm a bit intimidated by the prospect of pushing in and trying to create new positions for occupational therapists. So I'm curious if you'd have any advice for someone who is interested in that, what they can do, you know, in their day-to-day practice, especially as a new graduate where you're faced with, you know, just learning the step-by-step protocols, but you still want to be able to push and try to create new areas of practice for OTs. What maybe some simple steps someone could take to make that a part of their routine?
I have used over my 40 years in education the concept of the yellow brick road. What are you seeking? What are your goals? And how can you bring them into play as part of a therapy process? And if you consider the different characters in the yellow brick road, they had their own fears, but they found out they could go wherever they needed to go to achieve their personal success. Yes, it is hard being a brand new graduate. I will not minimize that at all. And to pursue a dream. But that's what changes. That's what changes ourselves, the way we approach the training that you're bringing to it, how you utilize the training, and how you change our profession to meet those values, the vision of how can we best serve the community that we are involved with.
I think that's a great point, because not only are we looking at the client's strength, but you're also looking at the student's strength, and how do you make those connections to assist each other in your growth process?
Well put, yes.
Because they had experienced that, and I don't know if you want to share a little bit of that, Josh and Christine, about, we shared that in our conference today when we spoke. We had Josh and Christine and Helen speak about their experience and then how they brought their interest. So if you want to share that with Flo,
please do, I think since that I missed, I'm sorry.
So, you know, we were in a non-traditional community-based mental health setting, which we didn't have any experience either observing or volunteering or having a level one in. And I think certainly for me, and I know Christine, we've talked about this as well, we hit a point in the beginning where we had doubts of like, are we acting as occupational therapists right now? This is different.
What kind of role do we have here? What are we supposed to be doing? How do we fit in with the structure that's already here?
While providing occupational therapy services and not taking a different role. And what seemed to work for us, I think, is using the systems theory approach and looking at not only the clients we were working with, but the place that the program took place in, the other professionals who were there, and looking at the whole agency as a system within a system. So I found that to be helpful.
We used to joke and say that we were OTing the agency, because it was so much easier to take a step back and look at everything and see which pieces needed to move and where we could step in than to just look at individuals to make it work.
Which then kind of motivated us. I know we've talked a lot about our future profession, how can we make our career expand into those places, and how can we use that model in other ways and in a community-based setting where we're really trying to provide health and wellness-based interventions and not working off like a deficit-based model.
So I think that we're all, as students and as professionals, working towards that shift and going from the occupation-based and social model to now the biomedical model, using that biomedical as that base for evidence and to get recognition as an occupational therapist in a medical setting, but then also taking that social model by looking at the whole person, like you said, more of a holistic approach, and how you fit in within that holistic approach. And I think it's easy as professionals to get caught in that clinical role and forget about who we are outside of that and how we can expand on a bigger level, and not so big that it's overwhelming, but just beyond what is known or what's maybe we become comfortable with. So we tried to problem solve with that and bring different programs into the community, such as Sensory Hour for families with children who have the autism, any autistic or different developmental challenges. So we brought that into the community and saw how that expanded out, and people could see that OTs and OT students can see themselves outside of just that clinical role and how you can work within your community setting. But how to expand that, work with the World Health Organization's model along with AOTA to create a health and wellness model that expands beyond just a local and a national level, but to go outside of that. So I think this podcast is that first step, and talking with other professionals that have more experience and realize, you know what, we're on the same plane. We're on the same team playing the same game. We might have a different mitt. We might have a different thing in our hand, but we're all working for the same common goal.
And that's important to remember, we are. And my biggest concern is our colleagues tend to forget that and get locked in to their specialty area and holding on. There was a time where a mental health three clinical field work too was mandated. You could do peds or adult rehab. You had to do mental health, or you did three. One of them had to be mental health. Funding started to dissipate in mental health sites, and what was the first to go? OT. Partially because we did not advocate for our role in the treatment process and in the intervention of whatever facility. The other part was that lack of being able to advocate, we didn't have a voice. And so, well, yeah, we'll cut this out. We're not going to cut the psychologist, we'll cut the OT. So we need to have a stronger voice and stronger advocacy and evidence base to say, this is what has resulted. We've come a long way from the original origins of our profession. So I say go for it. Go for it with your idea, with your dreams. It's always been my mantra. It's how I have lived my entire career, approaching 50 years, was think out of the box and then unwrap it, set it out there, and get people interested in it. It's everything, every program I've ever developed, including the program at the college, which was a problem-based learning curriculum, we'll figure it out. Because we, as a profession, are helping people on a daily basis to solve problems. It could be a problem in ADL or a problem in social skills or any of our area of occupational performance. We're helping them to find options to do what they need to do. And going back to what you said, Heidi, why aren't we doing that for ourselves? Why aren't we finding options for our own problems, resistances, on how we can move our profession forward? And let the world know, you know, it really sums up to, ain't nothing we can't do.
Right. And our motto that Christine came up with at her mental health field work was,
there's an OT for that.
So whenever they asked us, well, what do you need in this setting? What is it you could benefit from that's not here right now? And they go, well, we could use someone to work with the clients to do. We go, we have an OT for that. I said, Josh, get on that. He was researching, got a program. Christine, they need this. I'll do it. It's knowing that we have the capabilities to make that happen.
So you're answering your own question.
I suppose so.
You did it. You identify it, and then you make it happen. And yes, we have, OT is the most phenomenal profession because we can plug into so many aspects Did you hear the keynote this morning?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Patty pulled it all together, having come from a legal background, and what she's now doing. And by doing a program, the program that Patty started, that we started at our college and she now directs, gives an opportunity for students with intellectual and developmental disabilities to go to college. They have that option. That was beyond anything I could have dreamt of when I began working in an institution for the developmentally disabled 50 years ago. It's take a dream, get on that yellow brick road, because whatever we're afraid of, remember, Oz was just this little scary guy who is scary not to us, but to himself. So he hid. We should be out there shouting from the rooftops, we are OTs, we can do it. Get an OT.
And letting them understand our value and different settings.
Yes, you see, I'm omitting the theoretical, but yes, because it's all wound together. Our values are not new. They've always been there. They are the foundation of our leaders from the beginning of our profession. We mustn't forget that. And we must really hold on to the unique value of what occupational therapy is. And not just, makes me cringe. I'm a biomechanical OT. I'm a mental health OT. I work in developmental disabilities. I'm a gerontology OT. No, we're all OTs. And we're all doing the same thing, just in different pathways.
Right. And I think they've identified themselves, who they are within the field, but they're forgetting that we are the collective consciousness of our profession.
Yes.
We're the vibration. We keep it going. We keep it moving and alive. So on that note, I would love to thank you for giving us this opportunity to hear your knowledge and your wisdom and your ideas to help fuel our ideas to move outside of just our one single setting and to expand beyond our own thinking and maybe limitations.
Thank you for the opportunity, because I am literally verklempt, to steal a word from an old TV show where it was Saturday night, at watching what's happening in our profession and the wonderful directions we're moving in and should be. So thank you for that opportunity.
Thank you. We are the beginning of the OT Dream Team. Have a dream, find a team, and make it happen.
I love it. I love it.
Thank you so much.
Terrific.
And we're looking forward to having you as a president
for
NYSOTA.
Thank you.